News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, by the way, I tell people this all the time, but I hope you're checking out our website, rightsideradio.org. I'm on there right now. We have been adding things to the site. It is a robust website right now. And so there's things you're going to want to see on there, rightsideradio.org. Like the other day, I had Colonel Jim Hawkins on with me, and he had told us about the fact that he had been the Unified Command, the state of Alabama's Unified Command Director for the COVID response. Now, he was very diplomatic on the radio, but I'll be honest with you, my understanding is that Jim's time in Montgomery was less than satisfying, as many of the organizations that were supposed to be involved in the unified command weren't unified at all, and some of the lessons learned have fallen apart. Anyway, what I'm saying is we've got Jim's four-part report on there, especially those of you with military experience. You may want to read it because it comes from that type of a view. And so it's right at the top of the website, Alabama's Unified Command for COVID Response, Part 1 through Part 4. It's there for your reading pleasure. We've also just updated our list of team sponsors. We've got two more that are going to be added very soon. We're just signing them up right now, but 1819news.com is on there. You'll see all the logos for our various team members, everybody from Vandy's and Just Love Coffee and ZLA Solutions and now 1819 and two others that are coming soon. Anyway, each of their logos is on there, and if you click on the logo, it takes you direct to their site. I hope you'll check out 1819 News. They are a great new news site that's centered on Alabama and gives you news you can trust if you get down to it. And then our podcasting's on there as well. The podcasting is pretty legit. I mean, we are pushing right now 32,500 or 33,000. I got to look back and see. But anyway, every time we do a show, Copper segments it out, gets it all ready to go, and Birdman uploads it to the website and puts it out where everybody can get it. Every version of podcasting in the world is on here. You've got, if you use Podbean, if you're an Apple, if you're an Amazon, whatever the case may be, we got all the various versions of podcasting available to you, and just encourage you, jump on it. Things that Copper and I write, because we do, she and I both do a weekly op-ed that goes out around the state. And not the least of which is on 1819 News. Anyway, you can find those on there. They are posted up there on the main page. And then, because yes, there's more, you've also got the Right Side Store. You can order coffee mugs, t-shirts, stickers, and one of my favorites, Right Side Socks. Yes, Right Side Socks. To my family who listens, who kids me about it, I know I haven't mentioned it in at least a week, but Right Side Socks are way cool. So yes, there's that. And then lastly, and perhaps most importantly, we have such a broad audience. I was literally on the show this morning for Sean Sullivan, a show this morning for Sean Sullivan, who has a radio show down at FM Talk 106.5 Mobile. I did his show with him, and, you know, people down there listen to our show. How do they do it? Well, they go to the website, rightsideradio.org, and they click on Listen Live. And no matter where you is, there we is at that point. So, yeah, that's why we have such a wide audience all across the nation, really. And what's cool, too, the podcasting, I think I've told you before multiple times here, we welcome you in California as the second largest batch of downloaders for the Right Side podcast. They come from California, which I think is just pretty cool, which clearly indicates to me that we are doing ministry in a foreign land. Don't you agree, Copper? Ministry in a foreign land, talking conservative to California?
Yes.
Although there are some good conservatives out there. Kind of funny. I mean, I have heard it said before. I had guys that I served with in the military from upstate New York, and they said, man, upstate New York are the guys that I served with from the east side of the Cascades in Oregon and Northern California. Those are like conservative bastions, but they're just dominated in their politics by the big metro areas like Los Angeles or Portland or New York City. Anyway, love y'all out there on the left coast. Hang in there. You're doing God's work, doing your conservatism piece out there in the land of, milk and honey and strange things that take place. All right. Listen, we got a lot on the show today. So coming up next, I'm going to be doing a segment called Live Free or Die. Live Free or Die. You heard that before. That's true. Second Amendment, baby. And so we're going to be talking about what's just happened recently in Alabama law, what was signed into law, new things that are being generated in Alabama law, and what's happening around the nation. Second Amendment, live free or die. And so then after that, 3 o'clock, we got Lou Burdette, who's running for governor. He'll be on with us. I'm looking forward to this. We got some more kind of a show. You guys just stay tuned. It's going to keep getting better. I'm going to reach over here and grab the paper. Start getting my notes ready. Here we go. First story, we'll come out of 1819 News, as a matter of fact. Live free or die. That's right. Right Side Radio. Solid. Conservative. Just plain right. And about as Second Amendment friendly as you can get. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. So yeah, number one of the triple dipper today, I'm calling it Live Free or Die. You can imagine what that means. Any of you who have, you know, ever heard of the Second Amendment or had a t-shirt may have had one that said Live Free or Die. And it's just, it's basically, it dates way back. But the truth be told, there has been an effort underway over the last 30, 40 years especially to basically, I'd almost say outlaw gun ownership. Now, they can't really define what it means, and there's certainly not a lot of studies that indicate that true responsible gun ownership is an inherent indicator of pending crime. It's not like that. This is not that, all right? We're not looking at, there's an old saying too that the only thing that can stop a bad guy with a gun is usually a good guy with a gun, and I agree with that. And when you start limiting gun ownership, what you're really doing is saying, okay, all you people who abide by the law, now you won't have one. You're not keeping them out of the hands of criminals. You're not. I don't care what anybody says. The fact that guns are on the streets is an indication of, you know, criminal activity, not of law-abiding activity. Well, one of the things that has been really taking root here in recent years is what we call constitutional carry. So that being said, you may have heard it before, but for those who haven't heard the term, I'll go ahead and define it. The Second Amendment, of course, is the provision within our Bill of Rights, within the amendments to the Constitution, that guarantees the right to bear arms. And people talk about it all the time. Oh, well, it was never intended for this. You know, Joe Biden himself says, well, the founders didn't anticipate you having a cannon. You can't have a cannon. Nobody's having a cannon, Mr. President. We're talking about a firearm. And that's not, you can't tote that one out for deer hunting. All right? You can't go sport shooting with a cannon. That being said, this is the common attacks are usually rooted in sensationalism and rhetoric. What we have going for us on the other side is the actual Constitution. And so constitutional carry literally means you're allowed to carry that firearm, in this case concealed, or really in any status, because your constitutional rights guarantee it. One of the things that is really, you know, taken root in certain aspects of law enforcement is the notion that we should have the opportunity to vet you first. Now, that can get very subjective. So when I was a state senator, we would have a number of Second Amendment bills, and it's hard to look at an airborne ranger and not figure out he's going to wind up being Second Amendment friendly. Well, I was, you can imagine. And I can remember going to the floor of the Senate with my own bill, similar to one that I'm going to tell you about here in a few minutes, that's making its way through the legislative process right now, that in my bill's case, literally said that local law enforcement cannot add new and unique provisions to be required before they issue you a permit. At the time, it wasn't dealing with constitutional carry. It was just making sure they weren't putting more roadblocks in the way. Well, I did my studies on it. I remember, I got to think what state it was in, but I think it was Connecticut, maybe Delaware. there was one sheriff who required you to write a paper to determine whether or not you were, you know, should be granted a concealed carry permit. Write a paper? So what happens if you're literate or you have dyslexia or something that prevents you from being able to write a paper? You don't get your constitutional rights because you can't write a paper? How ridiculous is that? We also saw things happening in places like out in Washington State, I believe it was, in Seattle. The city council put a hugely burdensome tax on bullets. Well, what they're doing is saying, well, the Constitution doesn't guarantee you a right to a bullet. Just may guarantee you a right to a pistol. We can't stop that, but we can go ahead and tax you out of the ability to own a bullet. And so they were putting things on there like, you know, a tax of $1 per bullet. So if you're buying a box of 50 rounds of 9mm and that's going to cost you $37.50, you can add another $50 on top of it. And what they're doing is they're trying to price you out of the ability to even have a firearm. Because ain't no bullets, ain't no gun, right? Well, this kind of stuff has to stop. All that is literally trying to do end runs around the Constitution. Luckily for us, those of us who enjoy sport shooting or hunting or just owning firearms, luckily for us, the strength argument is on our side. We have the actual Constitution. So, story off of 1819 News, dated just yesterday. The bill outlawing unconstitutional executive orders on guns passes a House committee. Well, you may be saying, Phil, I thought we just did concealed carry. Constitutional carry. Yes, we did. There's a second bill right now. And this second bill may not be necessary, I'll be honest. But State Representative Scott Stothagen of Hartsell, right here in the listening area, is sponsoring it. It's called the Alabama Second Amendment Protection Act. This particular bill's purpose is to provide or to prohibit the enforcement of presidential executive orders that apply to the Second Amendment. The concern for Representative Stothagen is that a future administration, or for that matter, this one, might issue an executive order that says, under the Emergency Powers Act, due to the fact that there's COVID number 93, I hereby say you cannot have firearms because that would be bad. Well, he's trying to put a position upon state law that says this will not be enforceable. Now, I will be honest, the lead Democrat in the state is Representative Chris England. He opposed the bill in committee. He pointed out that the Attorney General can always file suit against it. Now, my counter to that is we don't always know who the Attorney General is going to be. You know, it's possible that we would one day again have a liberal Attorney General. Not likely anytime soon, but who knows? So anyway, Representative Stothagen's bill just came out of committee. It's very late in the session. I'm not sure it's going to have a chance to move anywhere, and I'm sure most people in the legislature are going to feel like they already did their part with constitutional carry, which, story off of Fox News. Fox News dated last Thursday. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signed into law a bill which eliminates the requirement of residents in the state to obtain a permit in order to carry a concealed pistol. Yes, it's true. Now, Alabama's always been an open carry state, if you're not familiar with that. We're an open carry, meaning you could carry it on your hip in a holster, visible. You just couldn't keep it concealed without a permit. Some may say, well, what's the point of that? Well, one of the beliefs is that if you're carrying it openly, you're not likely to be troublesome. You're not likely to surprise law enforcement by grabbing it out of the holster unbeknownst to them. So, whatever. Anyway, the bottom line is, we did pass constitutional carry. They did get it done. Now, there were some provisions put in there to benefit the business community. There are certain no carry zones where they don't want you coming in with your firearm. But as of last week, Alabama joined 22 other constitutional carry states. Most recently, aside from Alabama, Iowa and Texas did their own. That's good stuff. All right, so that being said, what states have permitless or constitutional carry gun laws? Well, I just mentioned there's 22, but that was last week. We now have 23. So on Tuesday of this week, storyline off of a website called NewsNationNow.com. On Tuesday, Ohio Governor Mike DeWine signed Senate Bill 215, allowing residents over the age of 21 to carry firearms without a permit. Ohio is the 23rd U.S. state to enact such a measure. So we're halfway there. we are halfway to all 50 states allowing the right to bear arms to be a right as opposed to a permitted right. Very interesting. The other states, by the way, right now are Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Maine, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, West Virginia, and Wyoming. We got a host of these states, 23 of them now. Law enforcement doesn't always like it. They don't want to admit it. Most of the rank and file law enforcement does like it. But law enforcement bosses don't necessarily like it. But let me do this. Before I got to run to the next break, let me just do this. I'll take a call. I got a call on line two. See if I can answer it. Line two, Malcolm from Decatur. Malcolm, how you doing? Phil Williams on the right side.
Doing well. I just had a question that you might can clarify.
All right.
So we are now constitutional carry.
Correct.
I am a holding gun permit before that was passed. And it listed all the states that I could travel to that would reciprocate my permit.
Yes.
My question is, do those states, you know, how do we handle if those who do not have a carrying permit, it is only good within the borders of the state, and if you want to carry across state lines, you still have to have a carry permit? I'm asking for clarification because I do not know.
Yeah, you are correct. In fact, that was something I was about to get to. Great segue for me. So the reality is yes. You would be well advised to still go ahead and get a permit because not every state does recognize Alabama's law, and you don't know for a fact whether you're going to another state that requires, or for that matter, you may be traveling from one to another but have to pass through three. You're
example,
wise to go ahead and
Tennessee
get one.
Tennessee is close, you know, and I know they're a constitutional carry, so if you go from Alabama to Tennessee, I still think you may have to because you're a non-resident. I don't know. I would be interested to hear.
No, I think if you go if you go to a non-permit requiring state, you're okay just because you're there. I don't think you have to be a resident.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
I had not heard, and I was just curious if you could clarify.
Yeah.
Thanks for what you do.
Absolutely, man. You have a great day. Well, Copper, move us to a break. We'll come back and sort of finish up this section. Live free or die. Second Amendment. That's right, baby. Live free or die. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, coming up at the top of the hour, by the way, you're going to want to stay tuned. Lou Burdette is one of our candidates for governor. He interviewed on this show the same week he announced his campaign, which has been, gosh, I guess about 6 weeks ago. But Lou Burdette's got an amazing resume. He was one of the... I think it's a chief financial officer at one point for Books a Million, the entire corporation of Books a Million. And for the last 15 years or so, he has been the head of the King's Ranch, a Christian ministry that is known, you know, nationwide here in Alabama, the King's Ranch. So we'll talk to Lou Burdette when he comes on about his candidacy for governor at 3 p.m. Right now, I'm still in number one of the Triple Dipper, Live Free or Die. So I've been talking about permitless or constitutional gun carry laws. And yeah, our caller a moment ago, by the way, had a great point. Yes, if you are traveling to another state, your law does not necessarily travel with you. State to state, they're allowed to have different laws. Like, for instance, as an attorney, I can't just go practice law in Georgia or Louisiana. I have to get licensed to practice there because the laws are different on a variety of ways. Criminal laws are different. Probate laws are different. Divorce laws are different. It's all different. Same is true for gun carry laws, all right? Alabama was always an open carry state, but required a concealed carry permit. Not anymore. Well, if you're going to travel out of state, I would check ahead and see what the requirements are. But if you don't have a gun permit, I would just suggest if you're crossing state lines, go ahead and have one. Just cover yourself. $20. Just do it, all right? Whatever the fee is, go ahead and get the concealed carry permit for your travels, because the last thing you want to do is get stuck having to deal with another state's laws because you're in violation. Now, that being said, there are now 23 states, and you might be curious to know that there are a couple of others. So there's, I mentioned 23. Ohio came right after Alabama. That made 23. There's a House bill in Indiana that is moving well right now, it appears, and may very well make it to the governor. And there's also a one that is about to reach the governor's signature, it looks like, in Georgia. So we're seeing constitutional carry. We're going to be at 25 states here very soon, it looks like. Now, what does law enforcement think? Well, it's a mixed bag. The biggest opposition in Montgomery to this concealed carry bill, or excuse me, to this constitutional carry bill, was the Sheriff's Association. Now, I know that some did, but for the most part, you didn't hear a resounding call from law enforcement on the broad scene. All right, I don't recall seeing like the Policeman's Benevolence Association lobbying in Montgomery. We did see the Sheriff's Association. Why? The sheriffs are the ones who make the money on the permits. Okay. Now, what else do they think about it? Well, this article I'm reading on New Nation Now actually cites the police chief of Miami, who said that, you know, he's against it. He's against the laws that would allow this kind of constitutional carry, and he believes that police chiefs and sheriffs and police labor are opposed to it in general. Well, it's not always true. So here's an article that I just pulled off of enewscourier.com right here in our listening area. Enewscourier.com talks about the fact that the bill in Alabama was just signed in, right? But then it went to Limestone County to ask the sheriff how he feels about it. And the sheriff says, that would be our sheriff, Josh McLaughlin, Joshua McLaughlin in Limestone County. This is dated 2 days ago. Says the sheriff does not, not anticipate an impact to public safety. He hopes to continue to generate revenue from pistol permits each year, even if not as many permits are issued. I get it. It's what I used to call a reverse unfunded mandate when I was a senator. When you know they have a source of income and they're used to it and they use it for certain things, certain line items, and then you take it away, the reasons for taking it away are legit, but you also just told that local entity, hey, you now have a reverse unfunded mandate, meaning you had money, but we just took it. That's problematic. I'm not saying that should stop us from, you know, defending the Constitution. What I am saying is you got to recognize their angst. However, their angst got a little out of hand, in my opinion, in Montgomery. But Limestone County Sheriff Joshua McLaughlin, he doesn't anticipate it being an issue with public safety. He went straight to the money issue. Okay. Tennessee. Our caller did say a moment ago, the Bradley County Sheriff in Tennessee pointed out that Tennessee is a constitutional carry state and does not require residents of Alabama to have a concealed carry permit already. So there's that cross-border issue for Tennessee. All right, Chief Floyd Johnson of the Athens Police Department. All right up there where the WVNN studios are located. Chief Floyd Johnson, he did express concerns for constitutional carry. His words are, quote, I strongly support the Second Amendment. I'm an officer, a hunter, a farmer, and a father. As a police chief, my main concern is the safety of my department and this community. I'm not totally against the new law, however, I'm concerned. Okay. He goes on to say that basically there were like 600 permits that were denied over the course of the past year or so. 6,000 permits were denied in Alabama last year, and he believes it was for reasons that could protect people. Well, all right, folks, listen, there was more to that than I even had a chance to get to, not the least of which is some of the end runs that the Biden administration is doing, trying to slow down the ability of, gun or licensed gun dealers to be able to do what they do to make a living. All said and done, you live in a Second Amendment-friendly state, and I'm glad of it. It's just one of your many rights under the Constitution and its Bill of Rights. Don't lose sight of it. Even if you're not a gun person yourself, you let go of one, you might as well let go of all. All right, folks, coming up next, Lou Burdett running for governor on the air with us. We'll be right back.